If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. I'm so excited because we have this wonderful group joining me this week to talk about a way that they are bringing about the lore into our own world, the way that they're making the lore real. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the Wasteland Jamboree. This is coming up in less than a month from probably when you're listening to this, and it is the opportunity to experience Fallout in the real world. And I'm so excited to have the crew who is behind this with me this week to talk about what this means to them and all the cool things that are going on. And the guy leading this is, you may have heard of him, Chipmunk. Chipmunk has he's got a YouTube channel. He does videos. He helped put together a lot of the video content on my YouTube page by editing and editing in. This is, language is difficult. Words are hard. Gameplay footage and that kind of thing. Chip, you and I have known each other for a while, and it was about a year ago where you're like, hey, Tom, I'm taking on this responsibility. I'm running this big event. It's going to be a lot, but I'm super excited about it. I'm so excited to have you on and hear about it. How are you doing?
Good, Tom. And first off, thanks so much for having us on. We really appreciate it. I am doing well. I'm extremely busy, as we predicted. It's just this year, in addition to Mojave Mayhem, we took on doing an East Coast event because the demand was certainly there. And we felt that a lot of the East Coasters didn't have the opportunity to come out West, even though they want to. Right. But it is expensive to travel and unpredictable, as we know.
Right now, currently, yes. Absolutely.
So we decided last year, let's do an East Coast event. Now, mind you, I thought it would be 2027, 2028, maybe. I had no idea that Stephanie would come back being the voice of reason to say, let's do it this year. Because then my immediate thought was, that means we need to go into the planning stage now, and that gives us 6 months to put together an event that normally takes a year.
Right. Wow. So you guys, so you guys have put together, and for people who are not in the know, we've had for a number of years now this big event in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And the idea is you fly out to Las Vegas. Everybody gets to go to some of the real world locations from Fallout New Vegas. A bunch of people dress up in costumes. There's all sorts of fun events and all sorts of things to do over there. And that's been a big, huge hit. And so this year is the first Wasteland Jamboree in West Virginia, which is some of the locations from Fallout 76. Right?
Correct.
So that was the plan. Plus there's raising money for charity. It's a big festival. There's all sorts of fun stuff. So I want to get into the nitty gritty. I want to find out about the behind the scenes stuff, what you guys are excited for, all the cool things that I haven't even found out about yet. But I also want to find out who everybody is and where people might know you from, and also what you've done to contribute. What's your role in this? And we have a whole host of people. So we've got Chip, and Chip, you are, what is your official title?
I am the executive director of Wasteland Jamboree and Mojave Mayhem.
Okay, so you're executive director. And then next on our list, we have Old Man Liver. Welcome to the show. How's it going?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Tell us about yourself and what you do with the Wasteland Jamboree.
Yeah, so I'm Old Man Liver. I am a resident of Good Springs, Nevada. I also own the Pioneer Saloon, known as the Prospector Saloon in Fallout New Vegas, as well as the Good Springs General Store. And I'm the founder of this annual event.
That's awesome. Well, welcome to the interview.
Thank you.
We also have the Ohio Cowboy. Welcome. How's it going?
Hi. Good, Tom. Thank you for having me. I'm the Ohio Cowboy. I am the Director of Special Events for the Fallout for Hope Charity Initiative. Most of you may recognize that initiative, but also recognize Kenneth Vigue. Mm-hmm. My role within this is I am assisting Ken with the VIPs, the talent that will be coming to this event in West Virginia, as well as the ones in Las Vegas, as well as a little bit of the marketing and social media. A lot of the work that I do is behind the scenes, so kind of being here in voice is kind of the first step in the foreground, so to say.
Nice. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And then we also have simultaneously Grotch and Clive. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, yeah, share some things about yourselves and how you guys are involved.
Sure. So we're both really big Fallout fans. That Fallout is what actually brought us together. So it's a thing that we're very passionate about. I am spearheading the immersion project for both Wasteland Jamboree and Mojave Mayhem. And I'll get more in detail into that a little bit later. But basically, I'm trying to create a world where you can go and feel like you're in one of these games that we love so much.
Awesome. That's very cool. And Clive?
And I just help her in whatever she does and whatever she says, hey, Clive, go do this. And I say, yeah, all right, I can do that.
She gets everything done.
That's great. Teamwork makes the dream work.
I've seen it live many times.
Awesome. Welcome. We also have Ma Tater. Ma, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much. Well, I'm excited about the event coming up. It's going to be amazing. I've been over to the West Coast one. Now I get to be involved with the East Coast one. They've gave me a fancy schmancy title here. I am the VIP director and coordinator. Ooh la la.
Ooh. VIP, eh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I stream over on Twitch, partnered streamer over on that end, playing a lot of Fallout 76.
Yeah. So. And you've been doing that for a number of years.
Oh,
now.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I think it's 6 years now.
6 years. Yeah.
It's been a while. Yes, sir.
Very cool. And then finally, but not last but not however
yeah,
that works
I'm last
Beta Phoenix, welcome. How are you?
Hi. How's it going?
Yeah, share some things about what you do. Yeah.
I am Veda Phoenix. I came into this community as, I'm first and foremost a big, huge game enthusiast, and Fallout is my jam. Mm-hmm. And I have actually been a modder for Bethesda Games for probably about 5 years now. Voice acting in them a little longer than that. And I came to the community because I was in a panel at Good Springs, and I wanted to get more involved, and so I started working for Fallout for Hope with the Ohio Cowboy and Ken and everything.
Right.
And also, now I'm the IT director for the company that does the Wasteland Jamboree and the Mojave Mayhem. So I will be making sure that, you know, the panels are running smoothly, and that hopefully I can get the stream to be going pretty, probably not the whole time that we're going, but a lot of it, because I wanted to show a lot of variety about what's going on at the event, because there's so much that's going to happen that we need to show it off, you know?
Yeah, no, that's great.
So I'm looking forward to streaming a lot while we're there.
Awesome.
Also.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. I would love to be able to tune in and see that, you know. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would be like, oh, if I could be there, I would. But exactly. At least I get to watch,
that's,
you know.
That's But next year I'll buy a ticket and go.
right. Well,
exactly.
Well, here, let's, this obviously wouldn't work without all of your effort, and I'm sure lots of other people all chipping in at different levels. And for people who don't know, this is May 2nd and 3rd this year. So if you want to go, get your tickets, make sure you can go. This is Sutton and Flatwoods, West Virginia. And I'm just reading off the poster here. So in case you haven't seen anything about this, it says a fan celebration of post-apocalyptic games and media, cosplay parade, live music, fan film festival, LARP zone, celebrity meet and greets, panels, faction camps, celebrity gala event, or is it gala or is it gala? I don't know. How do you pronounce that?
Gala.
We've talked about that. Yeah. There's, you know, it's.
Yeah. I went to one the other night.
Gala.
I think so. Here's my theory on it, real quick. Gala is like, no, anyways, how did I phrase this? There's gala, there's gala, and there's gala. Right?
Gala.
Yeah. So gala.
What is it?
Gala to me feels like America. Like if you're just an American, you say gala, or, you know, you say get gala. I don't even remember. But if you're fancy, you may say gala or gala or anyway.
Golly gee.
Yeah. I don't know how that works.
But in the South, we'd be like gala.
Gala. Gala.
Just call it right? The hoedown.
Yeah. It's hoedown, yeah. Darling.
It's a fancy hoedown, y'all.
It's like Nevada and Nevada. It depends on what part of the country is.
Right. Yeah. Right. So there's that. And then there's excursions and tours to featured locations and all sorts of other stuff. So I guess my first question, and Chip, I'm going to go with you since you're the guy leading this. But what is, like, if you were to just pitch this in an elevator, what is the event and why is it special?
Oh, man. Well,
like if you just boil it down to,
if we're doing it, you know, the producer style, it's literally Fallout meets Coachella, and that is a better version of Mojave Wasteland, or I'm sorry, Mojave Mayhem, because it's a fan driven organic experience that keeps growing every year. We've made it a point, and Old Man Liberal talk to this. We've never wanted it to have a corporate feel. Started as a get together of fans, which exceeded our expectations the first year, and then it grew from there. So it's literally a fan driven event, and each one has a different feel. Mojave Mayhem is a wild New Vegas feeling party, and with all that, you know, the celebrities and everything else.
Cazadores.
And then Mojave or Wasteland Jamboree is similar in many ways, but it's more of a, as Ken put it, he's our marketing director, sales and marketing. It's a county fair vibe. So it's kind of got a Pioneer Scout feel, county fair in the wasteland.
Okay.
So we wanted them to be thematically different, and they are, just like the games. So there's no other way for me to really describe it other than it's just fans getting together, celebrating what they love, sharing the community, and then growing the community. So it's very, very much just a celebration of the games.
Nice. Would anybody else like to chime in? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention that, you know, this whole group that's on your show today, we've all come together organically. And I've met every one of these folks through the event itself, which is really cool because we're like a family now. I have lifelong friends that I never would have met if it wasn't for the Fallout community and throwing these events. And the whole thing happened organically to begin with. And it was one of these things where the very first year, which was 2022, I had acquired the saloon in 2021, and I felt bad that we weren't doing more for the Fallout fans because the saloon has a 112-year history with a lot of stories, and it's got a paranormal thing to it. It's got history. It's got a biker background, an Old West, everything to it. But Fallout is part of our newer a newer part of our history. And I felt like we weren't doing enough for fans. At the time, all we had was a little Xbox game on the wall, and people were coming in every day asking about it. And I was like, well, we need to dedicate a whole wall. And to this day, now we've got a giant shrine there of donations from Fallout fans over the last 4 years. But it all started when I said, hey, why don't, for National Video Game this year, why don't we see if any of the Fallout fans want to meet up at the saloon? And, you know, we expected like 20, maybe 50 people to show up, 100 in our wildest imagination, right?
Right.
Next thing you know, we got 1,000 people there. There's a line down the highway. And I'm like, oh, what the hell do we do? Like, we got to have a full day of stuff. So we were literally making up stuff as we went on activities and trivia. And I always joke about the very first cosplay contest, which has turned into the biggest activity at these events and probably will be for West Virginia as well. But the very first cosplay contest, so many people showed up. And granted, you know, National Video Game Day is in July. So this is the middle of the summer. People are showing up in giant power armor outfits and yeah. Very, you know, thankfully no one died from heat stroke or anything.
Yeah.
But literally this one guy that was standing next to me dressed up in this giant power armor outfit, who ironically is now a dear friend of mine and runs our kitchen at the Pioneer Saloon.
In the power armor?
I didn't know him.
Wearing power armor? That's amazing.
Yeah, right? And I turned to him and I'm like, dude. Seriously, like, I'm like,
literally an iron chef.
I'm like, dude, you look like you've been to some of these events. Like, what category should I have for the cosplay con? He's like, best in show, blah 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 blah. And I get right on stage. I'm like, okay, for best in show, and I'm literally pulling cash out of my wallet as the prize. Because we didn't expect anybody to even show up. So the spontaneity of the first year, everyone enjoyed. And so we try to, even though we plan stuff out now, and the first couple of years or so, I did the whole run of show, but it just got too big. And that's when, you know, organically this group of volunteers and mega fans have come together to help. And now it's this huge organization, like I said, with subcategories and such that might be 30 people big at this point, but everyone does it out of just passion for the game and now the event. So yeah. I can only thank them from the bottom of my heart for getting involved, as now thousands of people show up at both of these events and there's no way one person could pull it all off.
Yeah.
But the key thing, as Chip said, is getting everybody together, and that alone is amazing. But then if for people that come year after year, we want to do different activities, different excursions. They may go, hey, I went out and I saw the Greenbrier this year. The next year, I want to see Helvetia. Or same with on the West Coast. They might go, I did the Hoover Dam tour. Now I want to do the Old Mormon Fort. So we want to give people different things so it's not the exact same experience each year. And that's what's come together. And this year, as Chip pointed out, the immersion zones that Grotch is organizing is a huge step up for hardcore fans that I think people are going to love. Even if you've been to the last 4 years, you're going to freak out about how immersive this is going to be. So I'm excited for that.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of amazing what people can do when they're all motivated in the same direction. Like yes. when we all get together just organically, and then we come together, and then oftentimes it's full of positivity in a way that we are desperately needing in our modern day, because you go online and there's for sure so much negativity everywhere, because that's what rises to the top. Absolutely. That's what gets people to react. But yet to counter that with, okay, this is a real world. It's based on a video game. Yes. But we are all going to get together and touch grass together. Like, there's something about, or touch power armor together.
I have to say that getting together with my people in that type of environment where everyone's actually dressed up and, you know, just being nerdy as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything is just the way I like it, you know. It's
right.
it is literally like the most refreshing feeling that I could ever imagine.
Yes.
Like I can't not go now. You know, it's like, okay, you're addicted. You're going to go to every single one of these from now on.
Yeah. I think you're onto something there.
Yes, you are.
And yeah, you are. Yes, I think
now
that there's.
I have to.
Right.
You have to, yeah.
Well,
no choice there. No choice.
They're telling me they're going to hurt me if I don't go.
Dark Chip just spoke.
Dark Shift. Oh no. Do you have a version of that outfit where he's got like a really sinister face?
Yeah, I
feel hilarious. An evil mustache.
An evil mustache version.
Large character head that he wears.
Twirl.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you're onto something. You're talking about a fandom, right? We're all nerds, and probably 90% of us are neurodivergent in some way. But as nerds and neurodivergent people, one of the things that you learn in life is that you rarely get to just be yourself and not worry about how people are going to react or not fear the consequences of being condemned for it. You know, if I walked into my grocery store in a vault suit, everybody would look at me weird, right? But I might go, you know what? I like wearing a vault suit. I love Fallout. But if you go to an event like this, you don't have to worry about that. There's something about being yourself and that being celebrated and finding your tribe, finding your people. And I think that's what all of you are touching on.
Well, and Stephen, you can certainly attest to this. We get a lot of mail from people that thank us so sincerely for that very reason. They literally will say how it changed their life. And I love it. I mean, I've said it many times. It's better than Christmas for me now as an adult. I get to the things we get to do and celebrate and just get together. That midday, Saturday, or at any point, you just look at the crowd having so much fun. And that experience is so uplifting because we're part of it and we're bringing it to them. And that's very rewarding. But the joy that they get and just to see it in their faces and for those reasons, because they have a family, a huge family that supports them. And you'll see it when you go. Everybody represents something, whether it's a Nuka girl or an Enclave officer or you name it, across the spectrum, and they're all together loving each other and just celebrating the game, and it's so wonderful.
People often will tell us how, you know, they'll literally say thank you for getting me out of my basement and bring me together, and I feel I'm not sociable in any other scenario, but I come to these because I'm with my people, and that's our whole thing, is just be yourself, inclusiveness, and the community falls on to your point earlier on the entire spectrum of the political but everyone comes together and gets along, and everyone's there just to enjoy each other and have a great time. And like Chip said, we'll literally have people, at the last event come up to me with their family and they're like, this has been the absolutely best day of my life. And I'm like, well, the right answer might have been like when you got married or the birth of your daughter.
Sure.
I appreciate you saying that. Please,
sir. Yeah, don't tell your wife. Okay.
We're giving people memories, and now people get engaged there. We've done weddings. I've had to officiate a wedding or two. It's amazing. So it's literally like memories of a lifetime.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, because that absolutely tracks. And I'm glad that these kinds of things exist. I firmly believe that if we are going to make a better world, then we need to connect in ways and find ways to connect on a human level. Because once you do that and you physically are in front of another person and you realize we have more in common than we have different, then you can debate things like politics or religion or whatever anybody wants to murder each other about. And it becomes less murdery, because guess what? You know the person you're talking to and you already have some sort of commonality. You treat them like a human being, not like an anonymous individual on the internet and all of that. But I'm going to get off my soapbox.
That's an undertone of respect that you get from the knowledge of knowing each other.
Right.
And the thing is that honestly, I started in the whole gaming thing later. I was a cheer mom and a soccer mom and all that before I started in later in my late 40s. They have welcomed me with open arms. They've taught me how to play the game. Yeah. They've taught me how to do things in the game. The community taught me how to stream, for goodness sake. It's like, so it's just, they are loving. I went to the West Coast one. Did I know an ounce of nothing about New Vegas? Nope. I didn't know much of nothing. They loved me and they were like, okay, Maltator, this and this, and that's what this means. And I'm like, okay, so everyone's welcome. Yeah, you know, it really is.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
That's the thing. Everybody is welcome in this community, and this community as a whole is so amazing in the sense that, you know, a lot of what we do, Fallout for Hope, is charity driven, you know, between St. Jude's and the Alzheimer's Association. You know, this past event in Vegas, we raised a lot of money for charity. And I've found that this community is not only welcoming, embracing, and loving, but if there is a drive or a cause that can better the world, or even as small as another person, they will all get together. We will all get together for that cause. And that's something to really sit back and think about in the way that the world is today. That's something that this fandom should celebrate and be proud of.
Yeah, you know, there's a certain irony to a bunch of people who love a video game about a wasteland contributing to charities that make sure the world doesn't turn into a wasteland.
That's the heartwarming thing, is that, you know, one of us is in trouble and puts out a GoFundMe. Everybody's like, oh God, we gotta help them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and how many times has that happened?
That's one of us.
Yeah. Right. And I won't get on my, I won't go into detail on this, but last year at the, one of the pre-events, I was at the Atomic Museum, and Bethesda did a big thing there to for their exhibit that they had just started. And I was talking to the curator, because I did an episode, well, three episodes there of the show. And he asked me, he goes, why do you think it is that Fallout is so popular with people and, you know, and has grown so big? And I said, well, if you ask me, it's because the one thing that resonates in all the games, being a post-apocalyptic Mad Max kind of world, the difference with Fallout to everything else is that there's always hope. And I think that's the thing that the gamers and the fans really embrace, because in their darkest moments, there's always hope. And that's part of what, in the event, you can celebrate that as well. And there's always that feeling. But I think that's why, personally, the fans embrace it the way they do, because it's as dark as it seems, you know, to have hope and to have an ending that is hopeful or redemptive is so critical to our human condition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. Yes. Every character who starts in a vault leaves the vault in order to try to make something better.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like, at least on a minimal level, right? Except for the, you know, New Vegas, not a vault dweller, also seeking revenge, but whole other story. But anyway, as a vault dweller, you leave and you're fixing a water chip, or you're trying to find your dad and bring him back, or whatever. And
for some reason, everybody around the wasteland is like, oh, you're the person that can do everything.
Cool. Right.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah. And there might be some really
confirming.
Yeah.
Confirming they need you.
Right.
They need you. Yeah.
And there might be some real dark endings, but there's also positive ones. And most players will try to do the positive. Yeah. Totally, totally get it. But here, let's get into, I want to hear more about some of the specific details. Now that we've established that this is absolutely something that every one of us who's a fan of Fallout would love to do, and to be more part of the community and meet a bunch of people who love everything as much as you do. What is it like? Let's just talk about the Jamboree. What is a day at that event going to be like for somebody? One of you like to take me through, like, you wake up in the morning and then this is, you get to go do this, and then you go do this, and then you go do this. What does that look like?
So I got this one.
Yeah, so here we go.
So imagine a convention, like a Comic Con, Anime Con, anything like that. What do you do there? You go to panels. You go to see your favorite artists. You go to buy things. But beyond that, what is there?
Well, see, that's why I think this event is really unique and really cool, because it's a build your own adventure at this point. You know what I mean? Like, if you're into the like Comic Con experience, you can go to the panels, you can go to Vendor Alley, you can go do all of that stuff. If you want something that's a little more involved, a little more immersive, we've got that too. Or you can just go hang out and look at everyone's cool costumes. There's a little bit of something for everyone. So I think it's really fun.
And that's what we're really now trying,
funnel
trying to do.
Funnel
we're
cakes?
Trying to push the envelope.
Yeah, funnel cakes and rides. That's what I'm
that's in the Midway this year. So that's like a whole layer of the choose your own adventure.
If you can't find me, I'm probably over by the funnel cakes. I'm just saying.
Well, and it's funny because when we originally said we were doing it in Sudden Flatwoods, a lot of people were like, well, why? Because that's so rural and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, they built that convention center there for a reason. It's it's the absolute center of the state. So it's easy to reach from everywhere. So what we didn't know going in was what we would get from it. We'd get the convention center. So we have all the panel rooms and they're as good as any con you'd ever go to. It's that kind of setup. We've got for the gala, we've got a ballroom, we've got all of that. There's a KOA as part of their property, walking distance down the hill. That has this huge amphitheater where the live entertainment's going to play all weekend, and these amazing bands that are very, very themed to what we're doing, bluegrass, jazz, kind of, you know, the country feel. And in that area, we can have all our food trucks, we can have the vendor village, we have the immersion zone, all of that is there. But when you park at Holly Gray Park, which is where most of the parking is, and that's just a couple miles down the road, we'll be shuttling people. But when you walk, when you're there and you park, we've got an amusement park because we wanted to do a mini Camden Park kind of vibe. So we've got rides, funnel cake booths, you know, food booths, games, you know, carnival games, midway games. That's the first thing you experience. And it really has nothing to do with the rest of what's going on just a couple miles down the road. And then we bring in Sutton for the Flatwoods Monster Museum and the film festival, all of that. So that area became so ideal for what we're doing and real world locations where you will see the building, you will see the Overseer's house up on that hill.
Right.
You'll see, yeah, you know, the buildings in Sutton. And Flatwoods is a little different. It's not quite like it is in the game, but don't worry because you can take the bus excursions, which we're going to the Greenbrier, we're going to Helvetia, and we're going to the Trans-Allegheny Asylum. Mm-hmm. So there's all of that. So it is to say how a day goes, it's entirely up to you how you want to put that together. You could stay at the amusement park all day long, and I'm sure some kids will because they can do it.
Yeah, right. And it's, yep. That's a good point. It's different for everybody. And that's why I love after these events going on YouTube and watching people's experiences out there, because they're all completely different. Even, you know, I go, hey, I was there all day and I don't remember that. I didn't, you know, that's amazing. Like everyone has their own experience. And then you can, as Gross pointed out, you can kind of choose what you want to do for that day. You may go, hey, I'm going to go check out this voice actor panel inside the Days Inn where we're having a lot of the convention style part of it. But then I'm going to go hit Vendor Village outside, and then I'm going to go watch some of the music while I eat lunch at the amphitheater. And it's, so it's part inside, part outside, two different towns that are right next to each other. So it's going to be everyone, if you ask them what they did over the weekend, I guarantee you're out of 10 people, you'll get 10 different responses. So yep. That's exciting for me.
Yeah. Cause there's so much to do.
One of my favorite things is meeting up with folks. That's honestly my favorite thing. Trading off some bottle caps, giving a hug, getting to talk with people. Maybe you'd only seen them online. Maybe you've only seen them as content creators. And it seems like a lot of the people that are there will be very open to talking to you. Even if we're not officially there as like a VIP person or something, you know, it's like you can meet up or you make a new friend. I think that is one of the best parts, honestly. I love the other parts. I love all that. And if you don't want to be sociable, you don't have to either. We're going to have a room for if you're overwhelmed. What is it called? The sensory room? We're going to have
sensory deprivation chamber.
there's actually a room where
it's a chill out room.
We do. We're having a room to help with that. And also, these areas are wide open. Yeah. You can go walk off into the middle of nowhere if you want to. You don't have to be right up with it. It's not the kind of thing where you got to be right up in people. So it's really open to all kinds of folks. Really is. So yeah,
that's great.
That area in West Virginia is beautiful too. The trees out there. It's good in May. It's going to be so pretty.
People are going to want to live there. Yeah.
I actually thought about it myself when I went the last time. It's so pretty. I went in autumn.
It's beautiful
properties.
We can't flip those. You know, like you could go to West Virginia in the autumn time where the leaves have changed. Oh my gosh.
That's beautiful.
It's so gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
and just being in West Virginia, you get the feel of West Virginia.
Yeah.
You really do. You get like, it reminisces back to the different structures that are all tore up and stuff in there, that you'll see buildings. Oh, that looks like a building that's in this area. And that, even if it's not the exact area, it's the architecture of it. It's the folks. It's just really neat.
Yeah.
So. Well, and let me talk to that real quick, because, and I know, Tom, you want to know what it means to us. So I'm going to answer that question in this, piggybacking off of what Ma just said.
Yeah.
I really wanted to do it in West Virginia from the beginning when we originally suggested it, because having done the travel show, I went from every corner of the state, everywhere I went, from the Cranberry Glades up to Morgantown to, you know, out to Canova and everywhere in between and into the deepest parts of Appalachia. Everywhere I went, I was just welcomed by people, and the hospitality of those people is unmatched, is what I've experienced in life.
Can I paint the picture for people who don't know? Your Chipmunk Travel Show is you dressed up as a giant vault boy going to these locations.
In a Boy Scout uniform.
In a Boy Scout uniform with a funny voice going to these locations to interview people about these locations that show up in Fallout games and all of that, right?
It's so epic.
So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. But also, now imagine a grown man walks up with a big funny costume who wants to do something about a video game that they may or may not have ever heard about, and you're saying that they responded very positively to that.
Oh my God, dude. And that's the thing. It's like, at the Cranberry Glades, the ranger, she knew about the game. She never played it. Mm-hmm. And I came in the costume because I have to. So,
yeah, you're walking around in a full suit. Yeah, like a full outfit. Yeah.
So within 5 minutes, and my dog was always with me, so that kind of broke the ice too. But within 5 minutes, she's wanting to order pizza and spend time talking. The Canova Pumpkin House, Rick Griffith, who owns it and now is a good friend, we talked for hours that day. I went there just to ask him if we could, if I could shoot there. And it's like everywhere I went, it was like that. And it is a range. It's from rangers to moonshiners. These are the people I was with all the time.
Wow.
Every one of them was so kind and friendly. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, because obviously not, but the majority of people are there. And for us to come in, and you'll hear this because we immediately started working with the OES and the emergency services and the sheriff's department and different people there to start doing the logistic planning of this. They were so thrilled, and a lot of them knew about the game, and a lot of the vendors had already started putting together scavenger hunts, and they were going to do caps, or they are doing camps and the caps and the different things that they got involved with. They are so excited, and it's not just that we're bringing it to Braxton County. It's that And we are, and it brings a lot of revenue to, in fact, estimated $1.2 million of revenue for hotels, food, all of that.
Yes, amazing.
For the area.
Amazing.
But in addition, we're doing the Follow Over Hope Initiative. We're donating to the Mountaineer Food Bank, the fire departments, different things there. So we have a huge impact across the board, which they are incredibly appreciative to. But the State Tourism Board is on, they're working with us, and everybody just comes together. The newspapers, the TV stations, everybody is so excited that this is happening. And it's because, in a big way, we're all these outsiders from every state is represented. Multiple countries are coming, people from different countries, all coming to West Virginia to see it, to experience it. And they're going to have that same feeling of hospitality and friendship that I encountered. And it's wonderful, because West Virginia, of all states, has needed that more than any other state. And because they've gotten such a bad rap this whole time.
Right.
And it's not like that. They've never, it's a state that is, it's a beautiful state with beautiful people, and we can come in and put that under the spotlight. We are more than happy. So that, absolutely, to me,
for
is
sure,
my,
for sure,
my special, that's what I get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
And what's really neat.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention that the community is, the Fallout community is so amazing that this, you know, we hold these events in these small towns of Flatwoods and Sutton, and then in Nevada, it's Good Springs and Sandy Valley. And it's the only reason Good Springs residents, which there's only 200 of us there, and the only reason that they don't get upset about thousands of people coming in and taking over their town is because the Fallout fans are so amazing, are so polite and nice and helpful and willing to volunteer that the people create their own volunteer groups that we don't even organize, and they go and pick up afterwards. So after the whole weekend, our goal is always to act like nothing, like we were never there, yeah. Have it cleaner than it was the week before.
Right. And leave it better enough, than when you got there.
Yeah. And they do. And that happens organically. These different factions come together to set up their own volunteer groups. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing.
The Brotherhood and the Enclave competing to see who picks up the most garbage.
To your point, you know, this whole video game that's post-apocalyptic and all brings everyone together in the nicest way possible, that's what's really special to me about it. And I live the wasteland out there. Good Springs is the neat thing is how much for me, how closely for the Mojave Mayhem version, like the town of Good Springs is very accurately depicted in Fallout New Vegas. And it's, you know, I feel like talk about immersion. we deal with factions all the time. There may be, motorcycle clubs or those kind of things, different groups and military groups and such. And then there's, there's scorpions out in the Good Springs area, not necessarily the size of rad scorpions, but they're pretty big in the scene. So it's really fun for me to get to live the video game to some extent. And now to expand out to West Virginia is even just more exciting, because once again, not just to cater to 76 fans, but also fans of the other video games that just can't make it out to the West Coast or don't have the time off or the money to travel and that kind of thing. So that's very rewarding.
I think that's a good point, is that you don't have to be somebody who plays Fallout 76 to go to this and enjoy being immersed, in an event that celebrates Fallout as a whole, full of Fallout fans who are fans of all the games and all of that. And speaking of immersion, I want to learn more about this immersion zone. There's a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps, with volunteers living and working in communities around the globe. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you to dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transforms lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about the benefits, and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. Grotch and Clive, this is something I haven't experienced. I haven't been out to one of these. Is this brand new for this event? Tell me more about it.
So I'm so excited to tell everyone about this. Okay. So the immersion zone, I made the mistake of calling it a LARP, not realizing that a LARP was such like a spiky word that people have a problem with. So I want to clarify on the record that this isn't a LARP. There's no prerequisites. Like, you don't have to sign up for anything. You don't even have to like come in costume for Wasteland Jamboree. Like, you can just show up and you can interact with the people that are in the LARP zone. The LARP zone for this event is called Brackenhaller. So we have a number of factions. Half of them are directly from the game. So we've got the Enclave, we've got the Brotherhood, got NCR.
You got the Responders.
Oh, and the Responders. The Responders, bless them. They're doing a costume repair station. So if your costume breaks down, like they're gonna have like sewing machines on site where if you like rip a seam, you can take it and they'll run it through the machines for you.
Because of course they would. Of course they would do that. That totally makes sense.
It's super on theme. And it's actually really funny. You were talking about earlier how the Enclave and the Brotherhood like try to compete to pick up more trash. Like the Brotherhood and the Enclave are like working together, like behind the scenes. They have like quest lines where you can go and like infiltrate the Enclave as like, or you can go infiltrate the Brotherhood as like an Enclave spy. Uh-huh. And they have all these different like really fun quest lines that you can go do.
Yeah, imagine somebody walking up with like an Enclave hat and takes it off and holds it behind his back and walks in and goes, "Hello, fellow Brotherhood brothers," whatever we call ourselves. Yeah.
So there's, I've been working with all of these different, you know, groups and factions and stuff, and there's a little bit of something for everyone, like we are talking about. So there's quests that are super easy, like low barrier to entry. So if you just want to go like not socialize and you want to just go like take a picture with, you know, like one of the many cryptids we'll have out there, you can do that and you can, you know, progress your quest line for that. Or nice. There's some, you nice. Know, like we were talking about, some more elaborate espionage type quests.
Uh-huh. Like imagine if you actually want to be the player character for one of the games and you want to go, you know, win the game. There are quest lines that are, you know, deep and involved, multi-layered, that will sometimes take more than a day to complete.
Yeah. And you can actually like complete quest lines that have multiple stages and you get rewards and all sorts of stuff. And there's going to be people that are bartering. Bartering's kind of an interesting thing that I'm trying to introduce to this community, because a lot of people think like, oh, bottle caps are currency, right? And it's like, most people that are using bottle caps are using them more like a calling card. You know what I mean? It's like people put their contact information on their bottle cap and like, oh, this is how you can find me after the event. Mm-hmm. So bottle caps don't have like a currency value ascribed to them. But bartering, on the other hand, people can bring out, you know, like little trinkets, props, stickers, like whatever they want to make, whatever they want to bring out. Like there's someone out there that's going to think it's cool and want to trade you for it. So I think the bartering aspect of it is, I personally love bartering. It's like one of my favorite things to do at these types of events. So I'm really excited to bring that out.
So the immersion zone has a lot of different things. You know, it's part swap meet, it's part LARP, it's part just, you know, photo op. It is part camping and it's part survival and it's all fun.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Some of the other things we're going to have out there is someone's bringing out a bounty hunting faction where you can actually go sign up to be a bounty and someone else, another attendee, will hunt you down and challenge you to a game of like rock, paper, scissors, or I don't know, like whatever challenge that they come up with.
Some more. Go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah, I'm so excited about it, honestly.
That's super cool. Yeah. That seems like such a fun way to differentiate this from other events, because it feels so Fallout-y, but it also plays into everybody wanting to dress up or play these roles or bringing the lore to life, trying to be a little bit more in the world, you know, that we love in our own world at the same time, you know, and just kind of expanding that out. That is so cool. Now, speaking, you bring up people getting dressed up. What are some of the coolest cosplay things that you've seen at these events?
Oh my God. Okay. So this isn't even the coolest cosplay thing that I've seen. This is literally the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I've been a hardcore Fallout fan since it came out. Like, I don't want to date myself or anything, but I've been playing 2 since it came out in like 98. Like, I played 1 in 97. And I know a guy, he comes out to New Vegas. He goes by Smitty at these events, and he has a screen accurate version of the Highwayman, which is the car that you can get into.
Yeah.
Like when I first saw it in person, I literally just started screaming at the top of my lungs, and I screamed so loud that he literally like pulled over and he's like, "Oh, you must be Grotch," because apparently we had spoken online earlier.
Oh, no, he's like, "Oh, yeah."
We're like, "Oh, here, you want to drive the thing?" And I was like, "Oh, childhood dream." I was so excited. I almost cried. It was ridiculous.
Wow. I think.
So, hold on, Jim. So his cosplay is an entire car.
Well, he also has a really cool like vault suit that he's modded out, and it's based
off. That's
like,
awesome.
What Yeah, like his vault suit is really cool. Yeah. It's based off of your character you would play in too, so it's got all these tribal elements to it. It's awesome.
Yeah, I see you dressed up in a whole suit of power armor. I have a car.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's powered too.
But it's going to be top to top Fisto from last year.
Because, oh, God. That was the other person I was
trying to talk about. Fisto was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about the Fisto costume. What was this? I mean, obviously, it looks like Fisto from the game. But
yeah. So Fisto, the guy who built Fisto is actually really cool. Me and him and the guy that Old Man Liver was talking about in the power armor that did the first year's costume contest, the three of us are going to judge the costume contest at Wasteland Jamboree. Yeah. So that's going to be really fun.
Nice.
But yeah, Fisto made the Protectron, which is Fisto, and it's got like voice modulators in it and stuff.
Oh, cool.
All this sort of cool stuff. But he is actually the other person I was going to mention on the coolest cosplay, because he has the most screen accurate Fallout 2 cosplay I've ever seen. And he had like all these really cool niche little props. Like he had like the rope and like all these security cards you get from like, you know, the Gecko power plant and all this like super, super niche Fallout 2 stuff. I spent like half an hour just geeking out on his costume. Like, oh my God, and you have this, and you have this, and you have this. This is so cool.
Now keep in mind, and Grotch, you can talk to this too, but the costume contest or the cosplay contest, we do it in categories now.
Yes.
Because we know that there are people coming out with studio quality costumes and they deserve to be rewarded for that. But then I'll also turn around and see a 10-year-old in T-45 power.
Right. Yeah. And something he made out of like cardboard in his garage. But, yeah. But it's really well done, but it's limited because. Yeah.
Right. So we want to be able to break it into categories so everyone has a chance to show their cosplay and to share it and possibly win. So I don't know what, if Thurman was here, she could answer it, but she's at WonderCon right now. There's a children's category, there's some kind of intermediate, and then there's the studio quality guys. Grotch, is there more categories or is that where we are?
I'm not 100% sure about the categories, but I do know that there are two like costume cosplay focused events. There's the official contest where it's going to be like judged and metered, and there's prizes and stuff that you can earn. And then there's like the cosplay fashion show, I think is the
yes.
calling it. And basically, if you're not into competing or you don't want to go through, you know, the 4-hour process of being in the costume contest, there's going to be an hour at the amphitheater where you can kind of just, people can come and walk on stage and, you know, do their little dance on the catwalk, and then they can show off and, you know, they don't have to compete and they can still get that gratification.
Right. I'm too sexy for this power armor. Got it. Yeah.
It looks like on the website, it looks like the entry levels will be Vault Dweller, which are folks who haven't entered a contest before. The Raider, who is for folks that have won 3 or more novice awards or folks that have won 3 or less journeyman intermediate awards, and then Overseer for folks that have won 3 or more journeyman intermediate awards. They have it very broke down. And then Behemoth is for those makers who build costumes professionally or work in cosplay as a career.
There we go.
And so we got, I had that all memorized.
If I attended more subcommittee meetings, I guess I would have known this.
Oh, you're fine. No, I'm looking at the website, dear. I didn't have nothing.
Nice.
Good job. As you were talking, I was looking it up.
I like how that's broken down. That sounds a lot more fair.
I was nosy.
Some of the professional cosplayers, oh my God.
Oh, it's impressive. Yeah. It is amazing. This is one of those things. So I'm sure a lot of you guys feel the same way I do. There are things that I know, like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. But then there are things that I'm like, I am not good at that at all. And I just, that is magic. And so this is one of those things. People who spend a lot of time and effort and talent and skill and artistic talent and all of that, and they put together a thing and then they walk out in this outfit that took them who knows how long, but you're standing there and you're like, were you in the show? Were you in the TV show? Exactly. Like, what is going on? This is amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're like that. I can't do that, but I'm so glad there are people who can. And that is something to be celebrated. Here's a fun question. What is an outfit that you haven't seen that you would love to see? What would be something that would just knock your socks off? Even if it wasn't like the highest quality, like not somebody who's professionally doing this, but somebody who just really gave it a solid try and pulled something out of like, like a really cool lore reference or a type of outfit that you've never seen before, or maybe
I can think of one.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, because as this was going through my mind, I thought, what haven't we seen? Because we literally have seen everything. When you see somebody come in as the house monitor.
Yeah, right?
That
yeah.
Amazing. That
yeah.
Was cool. Or Fisto.
Or Fisto. The ghoul.
With the bowling pins or anything. We have seen it all, except...
Amazing power armor.
There is a sad lack of super mutants, even though you, every so often you see one. But the tree guy. Is the one thing I've
never Harold.
Seen. Harold.
Oh, yeah.
Harold would be neat.
And you could do Harold at different stages. Like, you could have somebody who's, like, you know, younger Harold with the twigs sticking out. But then you could have an entire tree costume. That would be amazing.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody in the Slocum Joe's... strawberry with sprinkles donut power armor.
Oh, no, I have. Yeah,
it's there.
Yes, they were at West Coast. They were at the West Coast one.
I did see them.
It was a lady, wasn't it? A lady in a humongous.
That's
we're going to do a
humongous
power armor skin.
Oh, if I find the picture, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, whether it's her or somebody else, there's going to be one this year too at Wasteland Jamboree. So you'll get to see that.
I cannot wait. Got to take a picture with that person.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I think.
Flavor donut, man.
One thing I think
the Homer Simpson donut.
We need more jetpacks, people. I want to see like pretend flames coming out of that and everything.
Real ones.
Oh, I want to see the real flame, but I don't want to. But I want to see like I'm a jetpacking gal myself in game, so I want to see jetpacks on this power armor. I know that adds a little more. Sorry, guys. That adds a little more to these power armors, but I love it. I'm like, I don't know how they could do it, but it would be really neat.
That would be fun. It would be fun. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there who can figure it out. Like people are very creative. Yeah. Okay. So as we're getting closer to the end of this conversation, we've talked about a lot of the different features. We've talked about what's going on. We've talked about cosplay. We've talked about the immersion zone. We've talked about the bands and getting to meet voice actors and other artists and talented people and meeting other people. We've gone through all that stuff. Is there one other thing that you absolutely want to make sure that people who have not experienced this before know about it, or something that they should look forward to?
There's going to be a lot of really amazing panels. And I definitely, you know, if you're interested in learning about modding these games, we're going to do two sessions talking about this. And, you know, there's going to be people who stream that are going to be talking, and people that, well, Perky Pile, for one, who used to actually work at Bethesda, will be talking, which is really, really cool. You don't see that every day. he actually worked on the Fallout games. So, there's podcasters, and then there's the travel one that Chip's doing, where we're all going to show the in real life stuff and how good of a job Bethesda does with, you know, actually going out and making these real life locations look so close to, you know, what they do. They put them in the game, and it's just like, oh wow, okay, that's uncanny.
Yeah.
When you're actually there, it's so surreal, you know?
Right. And even when it's not like a 1-to-1 ratio, they really capture the feeling of a place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I like that. I've interviewed Nate a few times at Perky Pile on the show, and he always has some really interesting things
because
of how involved he was with, developing Fallout, and I mean he'll talk about how he was behind a lot of the spooky stuff in the games and like the weird things, and he just loves that stuff, and I love that stuff too. And I think you're right. I think going to these panels and actually getting to meet these people and see them and ask them questions and actually get their feedback.
And everybody is super nice, like totally walk up to us afterwards, ask us all kinds of questions. We're there for that purpose. We're hanging out and we're excited about what we're doing and we want to talk about it. So please talk to us about it. There's also trivia, which is really fun. And I believe we've got Family Feud and Name That Tune.
Oh, nice.
We've got lots of things.
Name That Tune and Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's great. That's super fun.
It's gonna be fun. So much going on.
When you start talking about it, it's like, oh, I forgot to talk about the game shows. I forgot.
If you've never been, I think the one thing that people say every time after they attend, they're like, "This is." Some people, you know, say, "Hey, I've gone to 30 years of Comic Cons and these types of conventions." And they're like, this is my favorite because it doesn't feel like a convention. And we never want it to be like that. We don't ever want it to be just a convention style where you're just in a hotel going from room to room and that's all you have to do. It's always an immersive like experience. And we've said that all along, even though sometimes these larger corporations will choose to participate. I promised from day one that it would never be a corporate event and it would always be fan driven. And that's, we're living up to that better than ever before. There's more fans producing more parts of the event than ever. So if you've never been before, it's an experience like you've never had it at anywhere else, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes. Well said.
Oh, I do have there's a couple of things people can do ahead of time to join in on the fun early. They can submit a film and you go to the wastelandjamboree.com to get this done ahead of time. April 10th is the date for submitting short films. Yes. And that's right there. It has the click on it, submit your film. And there's all the specifics on that. You get an award if you win and all the things. There's also volunteers. Yes, he's got the award right there. It's really cool. It's a vault boy.
Oh, yeah.
And yes. Love and it. Then also they have a whole new fancy system of volunteers now. I'm trying to understand exactly, but we've got, you can be a scout, a ranger, and this has to do between the West and the East Coast one, and you can volunteer, right? You get t-shirt and all this, and you get a certain amount of time, you get this a reward, and it's all the information on the website. And it says apply to volunteer right there on the website. So check out the website. That's my input. Some of this stuff, you start in the fun early. Just start up on it early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
good point. Volunteers for the immersive zone too. If anyone wants to be just like an ambient, like, barter merchant or, quest giver, anything like that. Like there's this, you can go to the immersive experience page on the website and there's a link to apply to that as well. I'm always looking for people who want to do more immersive stuff.
Yeah, be an NPC. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, if you don't want to bring out a whole faction, you can just be a one-off NPC, and I would be happy to have y'all.
That's great. And wastelandjamboree.com, just in case. We keep on mentioning the website, wastelandjamboree.com.
And also some of the tours are still available. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, ahead. Dear. Some of the tours are still available. So that's something you can buy ahead of time, too. You add that on. So,
go Helvetia. Go down the Helvetia tour.
Yes. So it's better than driving your way up there because, dang.
Like, it's almost a one-to-one scale as it is in real life.
Absolutely.
The thing about Helvetia, it's not like Fasnacht. Our tour guide is the guy who made the masks, the original masks.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be able to take you into most of the buildings. You cannot do that in Fasnacht. So it is a rare opportunity. So I would.
And less folks there, too. So
yes,
the windows of some of these buildings, you will actually see things that you recognize from Fallout 76 as little objects.
Yep.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
That I thought was so cool.
Yep, for sure.
Very cool.
And you have a ride up there.
You're going to get a lunch from the Hutte House. So they're
so yummy. Oh my God. Is it not good, Veda? Oh my gosh.
I haven't gone. I went.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing.
And I was so sad.
It's so yummy.
I'm not going to be able to go this time either.
Oh no.
But so, just to conclude that point, the Greenbrier is sold out, but Helvetia and the Trans-Allegheny still have spots. So if you're planning on attending the excursions, those are two great ones.
Awesome. And I know Ohio Cowboy, words are hard. You had something you wanted to chime into? We're getting through everybody, so go ahead and share.
Yeah, so I just wanted to jump in on the volunteering. So we are coming very close to, obviously, Wasteland Jamboree, the event going live. So if you don't get a chance to volunteer for this and you are planning to jump out to Mojave Mayhem in Vegas, still hit that link. It's obviously on mojavemayhem.com instead of Wasteland Jamboree. But if you're still wanting to be a volunteer, there's still another opportunity to do so. And as Maul was covering, we are doing a tiered system this year. This is the first year that we're implementing it, to where the more you volunteer, the more time, and it doesn't matter between what event, you can, you know, combine both. You will get leveled up, so to say, through the tiers. And with that, you get access to more items, different gear, and different perks. So it is something that I would highly recommend if you're interested in volunteering, whether it's, you know, anything from fighting the Enclave and Brotherhood to pick up trash. There's volunteers for that, all the way to the meet and greets with the voice actors and the actors from the show. We have volunteers all over for different specialities or different roles, and it all goes back to the same tiered system. And I highly, highly recommend everyone look into that, because there's a lot of great stuff that can come from that. And, you know, there's nothing better than being able to do a little bit to help the event run along, because let me tell you, you might think you're doing a job, but you get some, you know, off the cuff interactions that you wouldn't have if you were just kind of milling around through the event. So that's my little two piece on that.
Yeah, no, I think
it's all explained
that's
on the website. It's all explained very well on the website.
It is on the website. So, yep. Cool. Check it out.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think a lot of, there are people, I'm one of them, who, here's an example. I used to tour in a band. In fact, I played in many bands, and I toured in bands. Oh, I tried to get a record deal and all of that. Today, it's very hard for me to go to a concert. And a lot of people will look at me like, oh, you're crazy. Don't you love these other bands? Wouldn't you want to go see them? Yeah, but it's hard for me to be the audience. It's a lot easier if I have a job to do, and if I feel like I'm a part of the thing that's going on, even if I'm not running it, even if I'm not even doing an important thing, I'm just volunteering and helping. But I would rather be backstage or side stage doing a thing, enjoying my time there, than being just a consumer in the audience. And I have a feeling that there are people who are like me, who look at an event like this and they go, yeah, but I don't want to just go and be part of, quote, the audience. But then you give them the opportunity to volunteer and say, well, yeah, but you could be an NPC in the immersion thing, or you could go help, you know, set up and clean up or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually, that sounds fun now, because now I have kind of a goal. I have a purpose. I feel like I'm helping. Mm-hmm. I'm adding something. I'm a little bit behind the scenes, and I get to talk to the other people who are behind the scenes. And now I feel like I'm doing something special. So that totally makes sense. So if you're one of those people who would look at an event like this and go, yeah, it's not for me, consider volunteering, because it might absolutely be for you. You just haven't quite found the right role yet.
Well, and some people don't play in a community-centered way of playing Fallout. Like, mm-hmm. they play it on their own. They're not in here playing 76 with a bunch of folks. They play it on their own, and they're a little quieter, maybe, but they want to join in, but they're like, I don't know anybody. Right. I don't, you know, right. They don't watch streamers. They don't. And that way they can just jump in there, and you will make friends volunteering. I bet you.
Absolutely.
You'll get to know somebody.
It's like fast tracking the social situation, because all of a sudden you go in, you have people that you can talk to, you get to know, who are volunteering with you, who are running the volunteers, and that is an absolute like entryway into the social situation, because somebody walks up and they go, oh, by the way, did you know this person? And now you're introduced to people, and you're now part of a social circle rather than just being a random person in the audience. But some people would rather just be the random person in the audience. Find the place where you fit. And I guess and to wrap this up, that really kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, is these kinds of events make sense because they allow everybody to be who they naturally are and to find a place in that. And that is so wonderful. So thank you, everybody, for joining me. Chip, let's wrap this up. Are there any final words from you about what's going on or what people should know?
No, not at this point. I mean, I thank you again for the opportunity, and everybody did a wonderful job. And that is actually what I want to conclude with. As Steven said, you know, the management team is probably 30, 40 people total. And then there's even more than that are essentially volunteers for the management team. There's the core team, which, you know, is about 10 or 10 people, I would say. But everybody has coalesced in such an amazing way and brings their own talents and their own skill sets, but more than anything, their passion for what we're doing. I've been a general manager over the years, different times, and work is different, because you have to work and you may not love it, but whatever. But to have a management team that's passionate and driven and creative and just so energized, it is a blessing, and just it's such a wonderful experience to work with all these people to create these events and then share it with the community and give back to these larger communities. That is why it's all worthwhile. And what we talked about at the beginning before we started recording, Tom, that's the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody asked me, why do you do this? That's why I do it, because I love this family so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
These people are as nerdy as I am. Oh my gosh.
Right. But I think that there's
amazing how that makes me feel.
Yeah.
I think there's how hard that is? Like, oh my God.
Well, there's a powerful thing to say there, because again, talking about the current status of the world, how many people are tired of everything being run by these corporations and the bottom line and making money is they're going to screw over all their customers because they want to find the best way to make as much money as possible without somebody not buying their thing or whatever, right? And to be a part of something that the goal isn't to make anyone rich. The goal is to bring people together, to contribute to a community, to contribute to the community you're going to raise money for another community. The amount of benefit that comes out of that is more than just we need to put more money in some CEO's pocket or some investor's pocket. Like, well, that brings meaning. That's amazing.
Let me put that in
a good point.
Perspective, Tom. Stephen and Stephanie made the decision last year that 50% of our profits for either event go to the charity that we're sponsoring. So for Mojave Mayhem, it's St. Jude. For Ways and Jamboree, it's Pioneer Food or the Mountaineer Food Bank. 50% of the profits. Now, there's no other company I've ever worked for that would do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
Well, it's neat when you're partying for a good cause is just makes it even better.
Yeah, right.
And that's been our whole point from the beginning, to your point, was not to get greedy and try to make a bunch of money. It's to entertain the fans. And for the longest time, we were able to not even charge at all, because the community knows I'm a big Star Wars geek. And the first Star Wars convention I went to, I was like, man, I paid like $200 to get in here. And then now I got to pay like $40 for each sandwich I wore. And then right. I just walk room to room and I was like broke by the end of the weekend. And so our goal is always just to break even. And then because when the event gets to a certain size, you have expenses you just can't avoid, like busing people around and security and emergency medical personnel and those kinds of things. But if the goal hopefully will be to make some money so we can also, provide a decent contribution to the food bank there and be a real part of the community. And we, as Chip said, everyone's so nice and inviting and we want to give back. And then I'd love to give back to these group of volunteers who've dedicated now the whole last of their year into getting these events organized. So that's that would be my goal as well, because everyone's doing this for free. It's everyone's volunteering their time and as Chip said, it's just all passion. And I feel lucky to have gotten to know you all and everyone else that's involved. I consider I've got lifelong friends and family out of this, and that's the coolest thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, guys, I wish you the best of luck. I'm so glad that all of you are contributing to this, and I hope this continues. I hope a lot of people will go to wastelandjamboree.com. Check it out. If you haven't looked at it, consider going, being a part of this, especially understanding that not only are you going for a great time, but it's also going to benefit a lot of people. And how many people would say, I went on vacation and half the money that I paid for my vacation went towards charity? Like,
exactly.
I got food for myself and fed a whole bunch of other people. At the
right.
There you go.
Right. So yeah, that is really cool.
That's cool.
That is really cool. Well, thank you.
That funnel cake is going to taste even better now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And a fried stick of margarine.
Well, thank you all for joining me. And again, wastelandjamboree.com. Go check it out. The Wasteland Jamboree in West Virginia. And I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back. I got to thank our patrons and all of that, so don't go anywhere. But thank you all for joining me. Go check that stuff out. And we'll see you after the break.
Thank you.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
Thanks to all of them for taking the time to come and join me on the show and talk about everything. It was so much fun to interview them and get the behind the scenes feel from the people who really are putting so much effort into this. Also, thank you to the people who help this show keep going. Welcome to our newest patrons, Ellis and Sam H. And shout outs to all of our sentry bots, Germinator, Larry D, the Main Monkey, and Ira M. Thank you so much for your support as well. If you'd like to join them and get some cool stuff, ad-free episodes, all sorts of things, and maybe even join us on our Patreon chats, head over to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Also, if you'd like to help the show in other ways, please leave a review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. I'll read it out on a future episode. Leave some kind comments on Spotify or join us on the Discord. There's links for all of that underneath the show description. You know how this works. All right. Thanks, everybody. I will be back next week with more lore. I know we've done a lot of interviews lately, but we're getting back to it. So until then, stay safe in the wasteland. I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time. Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.